Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John. I'm actually just going to read verses 24 to 31, so you can follow along on the screen on your bulletin. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I seal the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were locked in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's a set of scriptures that are picked out that follow the church calendar year, and many churches and denominations throughout the world use it to shape their scripture time together. And appropriately enough, today's scripture comes after Jesus, 1 week to the day of his resurrection. So this Sunday is the equivalent of when this would have happened. And it talks about Thomas's encounter with the risen Lord. I think in a lot of ways, Thomas gets a bad rap. When you think of Thomas, you think of doubting Thomas. He didn't believe in Jesus' resurrection, so he was a bad guy. But to me, I think that's a little unfair. When somebody tells me how good a restaurant is or how beautiful a certain vacation spot is, I may believe them. But I don't fully understand what they're talking about until I see it firsthand, until I taste that food and see that beautiful sunset. I won't fully grasp what they're talking about. I feel like oftentimes when we're told of something, something that's great or wonderful or fun to do, we don't really get it until we do it ourselves. And in many ways, that's what Thomas is asking for. Everybody else got to see Jesus. Why shouldn't he? It's hard for us to understand life and death. And I think many times the natural response to death, a loved one, is wanting to see their body, needing to see the finality of it. This is Thomas, who just a week ago saw his friend, his teacher, his Savior, hung on a cross. There was no doubt in his mind that Jesus was dead. He had his proof of death, and now he wanted proof of life. I understand that, that need to see Jesus, to touch him, to hear his voice, to have a meal with him. When I read this story, part of me thinks, "Shame on you, Thomas. That's not the good Christian thing to do. You should believe without a doubt, no matter what, all the time." But then this other part of me thinks, "Good for you, Thomas. Way to put it out there. Way to tell people what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're needing. Way to be honest with where you are in life." Thomas was a great man. He wasn't just known in the Bible for this period of doubting. He shows up a number of other times as well. He was one of the earliest followers of Jesus. He was loyal and committed to him. When Jesus wanted to go into Jerusalem earlier in his ministry, even if it might mean his capture and death, Thomas was right there with him. "Jesus, if you're going to your death, let me go with you." Thomas was bold in his faith. When Jesus said he was going to be going to prepare a place for us when we died, Thomas says, "Great, how do I get there?" want to be with you, Jesus. Thomas isn't somebody who lacks faith, who's afraid or weak. Somebody who speaks his mind and tells Jesus what he needs from him. That's what we see happening in our story today. 7 days after the resurrection, Thomas was still waiting to see the risen Lord. Jesus had appeared to his disciples in a locked room, let them touch and feel him. But for some reason, Thomas wasn't there, and he didn't get to see Jesus face to face. Thomas was missing out, and he wanted proof of life. He wanted to be in the same room with Jesus and to know him face to face. So Thomas says, unless I see the marks in my hands and put my fingers where the nails were, unless I touch his side where the spear went in, I will not believe it. One could call this doubt. One could call it expressing yourself. To me, it's not so unreasonable to want to see Jesus face to face. And I am encouraged by Thomas's boldness of sharing that with the others. He wasn't with the women when they discovered Jesus' empty tomb. He wasn't with the 12. He wasn't on the road to Emmaus where Jesus broke bread and shared stories. He wasn't even in the crowd of 500 where Jesus appeared to his followers. Thomas wanted proof of life. Other people had gotten it. God, not him. I love how Jesus responds in this story. He doesn't get angry. He's not disappointed with Thomas for his lack of faith. He doesn't scold Thomas for not believing on word alone. He's compassionate with Thomas. Thomas said that he wanted to touch his hands at his side. And that's exactly what Jesus invited him to do. He met Thomas right there in his need, in his questioning, in his doubt, in his disbelief. And he provided the proof that he longed for. Jesus wants to show up in our doubt as well. He doesn't get angry with us. He doesn't scold us. He doesn't lose faith in us when we wonder about difficult things in life, when we long to feel God's presence, when we need to be reassured. Jesus wants to show up in our questions, in our wonder, in our fear, in our disbelief. We are being invited into that space with him. Far too often, I feel like we shy away from doubt, from the hard questions, from the things that aren't what the good Christian would do or say or think. But Thomas boldly voices his concerns and is an example to all of us. We no longer need to fear that doubt in ourselves. Because really, doubt can make us stronger. Doubt makes us stronger when we're honest with how we're feeling and what we're thinking. Doubt makes us stronger when we voice our questions and our concerns. Doubt makes us stronger when we look to God to provide the answers that only he can provide. And that's what Thomas did. He shared openly and honestly his worries and his concerns. He laid them at God's feet, and God responded. Do you know what? Thomas responded with one of the most beautiful confessions any of us could ever make. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Not only was Thomas recognizing Jesus as his friend, as his teacher, as the one he followed and obeyed, he was recognizing Jesus as God. God in the flesh, the Savior given for him. Thomas saw Jesus for who he was, and he responded in faith. Today, God wants to meet us in our doubt, in our questions, in our wonderings, in our fears. He wants to meet us when our loved ones are sick, when the future is uncertain, when men and women go off to war and do not return. He wants to meet us when we question God himself. We do not need to shy away from our fear and our wonderings, because God is there. These are real questions that we wrestle with, that deserve real answers. And if we ask, God will respond. A friend of mine who is preaching from the same text in another state, also following along, wrote something beautiful about doubt that I'd like to share with you. She says, doubt is not a bad thing. It's a human thing, a product of our life experiences and of our intellect. And it's not something to be ashamed of. But it's not something that we should be careless with either. We can pray our doubt, and maybe we should. We can speak with our doubt. We can invite it to come in and have tea with it. We can acknowledge that doubt is not the opposite of faith, but a very close relative, a sibling, to be loved and acknowledged and not chased away, but treasured, because doubt has the capacity to lead us even more deeply into faith. In some ways, Thomas was very blessed because he could express his doubt. He had the risen Savior in flesh and blood come and meet those needs. Jesus says, you are blessed because you have believed, because you have seen me with your own eyes. Then Jesus goes on and he says, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet still believe. Faith is hard work. It takes wrestling with the hard questions. It takes boldness and courage to speak what's truly on our mind. It takes perseverance to go before God time and time again and demand the answers that we seek. But to us, Jesus says, blessed are you who believe, even though you haven't seen me. Today we celebrate Thomas, the boldness he had in coming before God. And we ask for the same strength, the same courage to go before God ourselves. And I pray that when we wrestle with the tough questions and hear God's response, we would be able to say, just like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Please join me in prayer. God, you know the struggles that are on each and every one of our hearts. You know our longings and our desires, our fears and our worries. God, I ask that you would make us bold in turning to you, that we could tell you what we need from you. God, that we could hear your answer. Help us to grow in our faith, to be strengthened by it, and to always, always say like Thomas, my Lord.